If I weren't using a Mira fertility monitor pretty much daily, I would not be where I am today with any aspect of my health. And the reason I say that is because by using this tracker daily, and in today's episode, I'm talking with the founder of Mira, Sylvia King. The Mira fertility monitor allows you to quantitatively measure estrogen, progesterone, luteinizing hormone, and FSH, all from the comfort of your own home using urinary monitoring. And when I was, well, really, when I started seeing cycles consistent with PCOS, which I've mentioned in a previous episode, it was because I was using this monitor. And that helped me link ultimately insulin resistant state and overcome chronic UTI symptoms in the process. If I had not made that connection, I likely would be dealing with a diagnosis of interstitial cystitis at this time in my life and seriously questioning the quality of life. And not only has at-home monitoring helped me overcome chronic UTI symptoms, it's also helped me troubleshoot thyroid hormone levels and cortisol levels in my own body. And the reason for that is because low thyroid, it often goes hand in hand with low estrogen levels, which I had in spades. So I am so excited for today's episode. So excited for you to hear a little bit of the behind the scenes on the utility of Mira. Of course, Sylvia talks about it much more in the trying to conceive space, and that is how the monitor is marketed. Just know that I am using this daily as like my constant health companion. Before we get into today's episode, next Friday, Friday, February 23rd, is the kickoff to the Flourish Beyond 40 Summit that I'm a co-hosting with three other coaches. So this is Jen Trepik, Amy Oldfield, and Amelia Randolph Campbell. I am so excited for this summit. It is all about weight loss for women beyond 40. And if you happen to be in that category, or honestly, even if you're in your 30s, because I know for me, it was 35 and the weight gain started happening. So, kind of wherever you are in that space, and you feel like this would be advantageous for you, take a second and hit that link in today's show notes to sign up and save your spot for that summit. You'll find all of the details about the sessions and the bonuses and all of the fun stuff in that link. So be sure to hit it even before you listen to the rest of today's episode. Okay, and now without further ado, let's get into my interview with Sylvia. Welcome to Holistic Wellness, a podcast exploring the science and metaphysics of health and wellness. I'm your host, Brandi Searcy, founder and formulator at Rain Organica, where you'll find holistic skincare in one simple routine. Today, Sylvia King sits down to talk about Mira. Sylvia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this conversation. Would you start off sharing a little bit about the Mira Fertility Monitor?
Sure. So Mira Fertility Monitor is the device for home testing. So we test the multiple hormones for female, and they go from LH, estrogen, progesterone, FSH. So if you're not familiar with this, basically those are all the major hormones that regulate a woman's cycle. And you know, our cycle health is very correlated with our overall health. And this is especially true when you're trying to conceive or you're trying to understand if you have PCOS, how to regulate your cycle back, and also things like, you know, postpartum, breastfeeding, even menopause, all these stages in the life. are very closely with our, hormone concentration. So with Mira, we use the very, straightforward urine test. So you sample your urine in the morning, and you insert these test ones into our Mira analyzer, which is the small device fits into the size of your palm. And there are going to be a hormone reading or multiple hormone readings if you're testing multiple hormones, coming out from the Mira analyzer within about 15 minutes. And all these numbers will be transferred to the Mira app. So on this app, you can see your hormone trend, the hormone curve, and you can see the correlation, like, their ratio between different hormones. And also the app will give you insights, like a personalized tips, what you could do. So all these tests are quantitative tests. So that means just like a blood drawing, you will get a number. You're not gonna get positive, negative, this kind of estimation, because we all understand that our cycles are really personalized. Everyone's different, every cycle is different. So we believe that by truly seeing your number and seeing the curve, and also see how curves are changing, how those patterns are changing for longer term, is the right way to understand what's going on. So for now, many women use Mira to try to conceive. We have already helped more than 100,000 users since Mira launched a few years ago. And we also have a lot of users, trying to understand their cycle, trying to, get rid of PCOS or put it more manageable way. And also people trying to understand the, how close they are to menopause, like a fertility level.
Okay, so you just covered a ton of things that the Mira Fertility Monitor is capable of doing. Maybe let's take this back and talk about, so when women are using this for trying to conceive purposes, what does it look like? Could we just maybe run through the hormones, those four hormones that you mentioned, and talk about how those change? Well, we could limit it even just to the three hormones, LH, estrogen, and progesterone. Talk about Mira. How to use Mira to track those and how to know when you're approaching ovulation with those.
Sure. So the in the uterine cycle, our hormones will go up and down, and they have to go in a certain way and a certain order for the ovulation to happen, and also for us to feel okay, to feel well, and our health is good. So the LH hormone, luteinizing hormone, probably the most familiar hormone to most of people. Our LH hormone will surge. They call surge basically just going up really sharply about 1 to 2 days before your ovulation. And these 2 days are your most fertile days in the cycle. And if you have sex during those 2 days, and the sperm can wait there for a little bit time, like a day or so, and then the egg will be released, and then fertilization will happen. So that's why those 2 days are most fertile days. And however, in a during a very good health condition, like you have good quality of your mucus and your partner has a good sperm quality, the sperm can stay inside woman's body up to 6 days. So that means there are a few more days of opportunity to conceive before those ovulation happen and before the LH surge happens. And luckily, we have a hormone which is estrogen, and in urine we have a metabolite, and we call that one E3G. So this hormone will sharply go up usually a few days before LH surge. So that means if you measure LH and estrogen or E3G together, and you should be able to capture about the every day, everyone's slightly different, but 4 to 6 days before ovulation will happen. And those up to 6 days can be all fertile days for you. So if you have sex during that time, you have a chance to conceive. Obviously, if your intercourse is happening closer to your ovulation day, and the chance should be even higher. So those two hormones should be able to tell you your entire fertile window. If you're trying to conceive, you're really seriously trying to conceive, you do want to capture every single day, every single opportunity in the cycle. And then another hormone is progesterone. So this hormone will start to increase after ovulation has happened. So that also means if in the cycle you don't have ovulation, and then your PDG or progesterone will stay pretty flat, it will not have this surge. And this is very important. It's like this is like a double security. So it's like after ovulation happened, I can go there to check. Yes, it truly happened. Because there are many cases your body was trying to ovulate, but it doesn't really happen every single cycle or every single attempt. And this is very true for people with PCOS. because we, you know, we tend to have multiple really small follicles developing in the cycle, but every cycle sometimes there's no really mature single follicle being released, or you know, there's the multiple attempts and we don't know which one, you know, which one got mature, which one being released or not. So there are many confusions. And then when your body was trying to release the follicle, and you will still see the estrogen increase and the LH increase, but you don't know if that's true or not. You probably could see even multiple times of LH peak or estrogen peak. So that's where you need the progesterone to come into play. So progesterone, if you see that increase and you can be rest assured, yes, the ovulation happened, it has been released. So if you test all these three hormones together in the cycle, and you should be very, you know, seeing a chart, and you should see two peaks, you know, earlier in the cycle, and that's LH and estrogen. That means your ovulation is happening, and also you see a later peak, which is progesterone. That means ovulation has already happened. So by mapping out all three hormones together, you can see a super clear picture about what's going on with your body and what the body is doing at any given point, any given day in the cycle. So that's, you know, so much more clear than traditionally if we just only test with OPK, and that's only test the LH surge, you got one day positive and all the other days are negative. So if you're like, you're in a blind box, you don't know really what's going on.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I love about, well, one of the things that I love about the mirror, no thinking about it, is the fact that the mirror fertility monitor shows a value for all of these. It's not a qualitative test, it's a quantitative test. And I love that, because I feel like these OPKs, a lot of times that LH threshold is set at say 25, and some women are entirely capable of ovulating at LH surges lower than that. So they would never even see it on an OPK.
Exactly. I cannot agree with you more. So we, you know, we have already have so many users using Mira, and we saw their backend data, and there's as low as even, you know, the peak value, the highest value for LH was like 8 or something. And that person still ovulated because you can see the progesterone surge afterwards. And there's also people, you know, LH can go really high, like a 40 something, and their baseline will start to increase a little bit higher too. So if you test with OPK, that person gonna get multiple days of positive. So it's really confuse you because you don't see the number, you don't see the trend, you don't see where your baseline is at. What's the definition of your baseline, not the population average of baseline, and also what's the definition of your peak. And if you compare those ratio and the trend, and you can say, okay, now it's the peak, now it's the surge, now it's the true surge, my ovulation is happening. So I think that we all know, you know, the trying to conceive journey is not that straightforward as we imagined, you know, a few years ago or 10 years ago. So many confusions and many stress. So if you can see you know, how your body is functioning, where we are in the cycle, what exactly is going on, and then sometimes you can even spot issues with your body, like red flag. If you don't have ovulation for multiple cycles, if you don't have ovulation, you can still have periods sometimes. If you don't test the hormone, you have no idea. And sometimes we bleed during the middle of the cycle, we don't know what's going on. And that's also, you know, most of the time is caused by hormone fluctuation. So you can tell what's going on, you can tell where it might have gone wrong, and you can change your lifestyle or see the doctor earlier. And that clarity really release a lot of stress and an unnecessary anxieties during trying to conceive.
Okay. I've got a couple of questions kind of around this, specifically regarding staying on this quantitative values for a second and speaking more to the estrogen side of it. And here it's calling in using cervical mucus tracking versus using these hormone values to know when you're entering your fertile window. And where I'm going with this, the question that I really have is, how does this apply to women who have ever used or are, you know, currently discontinuing hormonal contraceptives? Because I feel like so often that kind of interferes with our body's ability to make cervical mucus in a meaningful manner.
Yes, that's, you're totally correct. So usually when your body's going off from birth control, and again, everyone's different. Some people got back, you know, cycle and hormone level got back really quickly, so like within the week, and she's totally regular. And then some people takes like a 3 months or even more for the body to completely deplete all this, hormonal birth control substance in your body. So everyone's really different. And so for that case, I think a tracking hormone will definitely be helpful. And the mucus is something caused by estrogen surge. So as we mentioned, estrogen one of these major hormones we're tracking. So when your estrogens increase, your body will secrete more, mucus. I'm not against the mucus. I think it's a pretty good way to track. I'm not saying like this will be the, 100% accurate way, but I think it's a good practice to pay more attention to your body. When we're trying to kind of say we're going off from the birth control situation, and you will see everyone's so different, and sometimes my body right now is different from my body 5 years ago. So be really mindful and be able to train yourself to observe what's going on, and including mucus, including hormone tests. Maybe you use BBT whatsoever. I don't think those one will hurt you. I think we'll only train a more mindful mindset, and this can maybe help you to discover something. But going back to a question for after going off birth control, yeah, I think give yourself a little bit time. Don't be too much hurry, because we don't know where your body fall into. It can be 1 week you're totally clean, or it can be taking like a three months and your cycle is still kind of messy. So track your hormone, and you can, those three hormones we mentioned, you can see if the ovulation is coming back, if that's regular, if ovulating at the supposed to be, the middle of the cycle, correct time, and also observe any bleeding, any mucus change whatsoever. I think that'll be really helpful. If you still see irregularity or like a pain or bleeding after 6 months or so, going off the birth control, you probably should see a doctor. We had the many customers like that. They went through their first baby was really easy, and the second baby, I think they call it secondary infertility or something. Second baby after going off birth control take a while. So, many things could be done, tracking your cycle, seeing the doctor, or, getting some drugs and some medication to help, and, or relaxing meditation and dietary, many things we can do.
Okay. Another kind of question along this lines is because the Mira is looking at that three E3G metabolite, is there any opportunity for, and maybe I'll just ask you offline actually afterwards in case. So it's not recorded. And then that way, if it's something proprietary you're working on,
That's okay.
we can tell. Okay, well, the question that I was really curious about is for women who are discontinuing birth control, is there a way to track those metabolites of the synthetic estrogens and progestins with the Mira?
That's
Because
actually, yeah.
they're not necessarily showing up as the same metabolites.
Yeah, so I think that's a very good question. I think that one we need to run some tests. The mirror will capture your estrogen in general. So if that I think also depends on what birth control drug you're taking. If that one will play similarly in terms of functioning as your natural estrogen, yes, mirror may capture that. But that will show up differently on the curve for sure, because your estrogen is supposed to only increase around the ovulation. But if your body still have some residual of other hormone or like a similar substance that interferes with the test results, I don't think they will show up in the just like ovulation. Probably will show up as a higher baseline or whatsoever, or lower baseline. And you can also look at the relationship with other hormones. For example, as we mentioned, estrogen is supposed to increase few days before the LH increase. And if you don't see your LH increase only really high level for estrogen, that might be something pretty suspicious. It may not be your natural estrogen or truly being the ovulation. So there are many things you could do. And also on the mirror side, when on our R&D side, we have tested against many interference materials during the test. So that means many other things, like for example, vitamin D or what you're eating, there's some other medication, they could also have some interference with the test results. But most of them showed a pretty low interferences. It shouldn't affect your test accuracy.
And speaking of those interferences, I think I've seen my own interferences before while taking an over-the-counter UTI treatment. The one of the ones that it's I think has a it's, it has something to do with fluorescence or something, and I saw like a pretty dramatic spike in my curve over the time that I was taking that. So it was pretty interesting. Is there a way to see what those, what some of the common drugs are? Do you have a list on your website of some of the common drugs that may interfere with readings?
Yes, we do. It's actually in the instruction manual for the product, and that comes with every single analyzer and the test ones. There's a list of materials that can interfere, but as I mentioned, most of the interference are pretty low, so it should be fine. And then obviously, if your body is generating more hormone or less hormone due to the due to the drug itself, mirror will capture that for sure, right? So because mirror basically capture what's going on with your body, regardless you're taking a medication or not taking medication. So we have a lot of users, and they are taking Clomid. Doctor prescribed to them, and they need to have a, not like an FSH injection, but like a still stimulus cycle, but a more lower range of stimulation. And the mirror definitely capture, this much higher estrogen values than the natural cycle.
Okay. So how did you actually arrive at the mirror? Like, how much research went into that monitor? Because I mean, it is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe it was the first one on the market that actually provides the quantitative value.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
Because
so a
I
lot
mean,
of research went into there for sure.
because it's so much different from the Clear Blue fertility monitor. I mean, we could even, the Clear Blue, you're limited to just estrogen and LH. It doesn't even test progesterone. But yeah, I'll let you get back to it a little
Sure,
bit.
sure. Yeah, sure. So yes, a lot of research definitely went into there, and all the other like a Clear Blue, and there are other like OPK, and now there's some smart OPK, like a people take a picture of OPK by the cell phone, and it will be recorded in your app. So all these technology are mostly based on a qualitative technology. So the OPKs are based on something called the nano gold. So that reaction itself is totally different from what we use. And we use immunofluorescence. So that's a very close technology to the lab test, like a blood drawing lab test. And we choose the urine sample because that's easier for consumer to handle. And nobody wants to pinch the finger every single day. It's really painful. So the and the yeah, we spent multiple years in the research, and how to get the our initial idea was to really bring the lab test to the user's home, because for fertility, for hormone tracking, you kind of need that like a daily basis. Daily basis means probably 10 to 20 times per cycle. So there, it's not very possible you go to the go to the lab to do that, say to really go there. And if you use the over-the-counter products, like most of the OPK is very confusing. Already mentioned positive negative. You see positive negative, you have to decide for your user what is the threshold, and that threshold cannot be dynamic. So then it's for people with higher baseline, lower baseline, they got false positive, they got false negative. It only tests the one or two hormones, doesn't really see the chart. So all this gives user more questions than the answer. So even more stress during the trying to conceive journey. So with all that, our initial idea was that what if we can shrink lab equipment to a really small thing, and need to be easy to use, and they need to give the accurate, relatively accurate data, and it needs to also be affordable because we're facing general users right now. That's where the research started, R&D started. It took a while, and many iterations, and even our analyzer, the version you're seeing right now is probably already the fifth or sixth versions, and this is like a big change. Not like a small iterations. So many things went into there, and also how the system should be integrated, how the analyzer should be integrated with the test one was another technical challenge. You want to have certain level of performance stability. And because, you know, this is a lay user, you know, scientifically speaking, this is a lay user device, right? So it's not being used by doctors. So you kind of can control where this per, you know, this test will be performed, its condition, environmental condition, and sometimes they don't, you know, perform in the correct way. So all this has been factored into the consideration for the design. And also there is a lot of, you know, simplicity, like a basically how to make this experience really straightforward. And for any lab equipment, there was a calibration stage. So, you know, you have to calibrate the device when you turn that on and you run the experiment, you know, run your samples for a whole day, you turn it off, and next morning you come here again, you put the standard sample in there, calibrate. And all this on Mira was done automatically. We also have that stage, but we don't do that automatically, so users don't have to do it. So you can see so many factors in there. So it took a while. But you know, eventually we reached what we have today. You're true, this is only still the only, not even the just the first, only truly quantitative, you know, test on the market. And this gives us a huge value, gives our users huge value too. I think people see their curve and see what's really going on, the relationship among different hormone patterns, and that's super exciting, super useful. And for us, we see, you know, with those quantitative values, we can truly get a lot of meaningful data, and we understand, you know, how, you know, on the public health level and also a lot of research level, you know, how female cycles are really going through. And for example, how our cycles are affected by our stress, our mood, or environmental factors, even some diseases such as, you know, now post-COVID. You know, we're partnering in a lot of studies like this. And those university research institutes and the fertility clinics, they also see the value for that too. And that quantitative data really opened the door for us to, you know, provide, you know, give Mira more opportunity to participate or improve the female health study, like a women's health study. I'm a strong believer that, you know, there's a really huge lack of women's health research. You know, many problems being majorly faced by females. And in the clinical study, the representative or the participants chosen were mostly male. And there are many female-related diseases such as hormone issue, hormone irregular issue, PCOS, you know, also like a kind of like a chronic problem not being understood really well, including infertility. So we don't really know what went wrong, and we don't know how to do it. So that's why a lot of our users, when they trying to conceive, they just can't get pregnant within 6 months, and they were sent immediate to IVF. So just go to IVF because doctors said, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know how to treat this. Just do IVF. It's a tool to help you to reach your goal. We just skip this reason. I don't think that's what we face today, but I don't think that's the ideal world. There should be more investment, more understanding data, meaningful data going into women's health research. So that's another huge benefit I think this, you know, quantitative hormone tracking can provide to our society.
Yeah, I love that. So, does Mira, are you working to grow a network of doctors, or has a network of doctors already started and other healthcare practitioners that are really using this in their practice?
Yes, that's correct. So we do have some doctors already using this, and there are assorted different applications, as I mentioned. On the clinical side, you know, IVF treatment and IUI treatment, and even some, you know, natural cycle, frozen embryonic transfer, you know, all these things, and the fertility clinics found Mira to be really helpful because that gives them the immediate access to the users, the patient's data about what's going on, and provide the much more convenience. There's a lot of blood drawing, you know, ongoing in the you know, in the IUI, in the IVF, and a lot of them are pretty painful. The users or patients drive to the, you know, the lab to draw the blood 6 times, 8 times per cycle. Just go there, drive for half an hour, take 10 minutes to draw the blood, and just go back. Miss work, have to, you know, take off from the work, and, you know, fit into a busy schedule. So it's pretty challenging for, you know, for a lot of people. So the clinic staffing found that to be really helpful. And also on the research side too, you know, we have a lot of collaborating doctors. They want to understand better about the, you know, the how the treatment can be improved, how the outcome can be improved. So for example, PCOS, I think that's a very popular problem nowadays. and we have a not enough understanding about that. We have some patterns, you know, already mapped out for how the hormone cycle for PCOS patients look like, but we don't know, you know, the cause, and we don't know the when it's come to treatment and how the outcome is at. And most of the PCOS is not being treated. It's more like just the you know, you take a Clomid, stimulate your ovulations, you can achieve your goal. Maybe, and usually that's about the trying to conceive, you know, So then, but for this, you know, this kind of thing, if you can understand the what's going on with the cycle in the you know, for example, you take a whole bunch of data set and you can break them into different groups, different characteristics, and there will be association of those characteristics linked with your age, you know, patient's age and lifestyle, some other factors or some other genetic problem or like, you know, environmental problem or so on. I think there's a huge understanding about what factors has a correlation with this kind of disease. And then it can lead to actions about what we can do. So Mira has been participating in a lot of studies like this too.
Yeah, and I think that piece of it is so powerful for women who are really trying to navigate their own health and help themselves overcome PCOS, because you can use it as a real-time tool at home when you're making these diet and lifestyle changes to see how well things are going from cycle to cycle.
Exactly. So that's what our users are already been doing. I'm also a strong believer that I think we should empower our users, empower consumer, empower women to control their own health. You know, traditionally, you know, there's some belief in there. Some doctors even believe that I don't want our patients to see the number. I don't want them to see the data because they will get panic. I will get so many calls and it's not going to help. It's just going to go to the wrong direction. I'm really against that. I think we should empower our patients and our general consumer to be the owner for their own health. I think Amira already achieved significantly in here. You know, we give our users all their data. They don't panic. They make good decisions. They don't worry about things they shouldn't be worried about. It's actually relieves their stress. And for, as you mentioned back for PCOS, you know, when people see their hormone cycle and hormone level and in the cycle, and they understand, okay, so here maybe I'm not ovulating or my body might be attempting ovulating, but it just doesn't happen. And many times people just don't know even they have this issue. Or they don't know when ovulation happened. You know, maybe I tend to ovulate a little bit earlier or a little bit later. I just don't see that. And that actually already eliminated a lot of unnecessary downterm issue. Like many people got pregnant with Mira, so they don't have to go through IVF. They don't have to go through IUI. A lot of costs, you know, healthcare costs being saved, and a lot of pain from the patients and the burden from the doctor side being saved too. So I think with the accurate and scientific information, and also with the correct level of interpretation and the support, you know, with Mira, we have an algorithm to you know, to help them understand what does those data mean, what they could do. And we also have partnering telemedicine doctors. So if they want to, you know, getting a deeper level of understanding, if they have complicated health issue or, you know, some history, health history, they want to have a discussion in a personalized way, they can reach to the telemedicine doctor, and the doctor also has access to their mirror data as well. So with that, we already have seen that, you know, many unnecessary pains during this fertility journey has been eliminated. I think that's a way to go in the future too.
Yeah, and maybe another question kind of along these lines is with regards to women who have had miscarriages in the past, and whether Mira provides any data, and here specifically that progesterone piece of it, any data into potential luteal phase deficiencies or you know, trying to catch that so that they're able to treat those to carry their next pregnancy to term.
Yes, that's for sure. So, you know, post miscarriage is really common right now, especially for women who are 30 years and above, 35 years, and they you know, they're trying to conceive. Many of them had a miscarriage history before. So with Mira, you can track the hormones, and when your miscarriage happened, and it's gonna take a little bit of time for the hormones to come back to normal. So you can track your hormones that way, and to understand when miscarriage has been.
Next week on the podcast, in keeping with this theme around hormone monitoring, I am talking with Kelly Lovell. Kelly is a certified Marquette Method instructor. Marquette Method uses actually the Clear Blue Fertility Monitor, although they are currently researching the Mira Fertility Monitor alongside of it for fertility indication. And this is regardless. So it really doesn't matter. As I mentioned at the outset of this episode, or at the top of this episode, it really doesn't matter whether your goal is trying to conceive or just health purposes. Like, your reproductive hormones give you so much valuable information as to the status of all of the other hormones in your body. So I, as a numbers girl, I love the Mira. It is my favorite by far. The clear blue is more qualitative, so it's just going to give you high, low, and peak. So, anyways, still that episode next week, if you are like you've been wanting to get off hormonal birth control for a while, you just want to start tracking your cycles and gain more awareness about cycling. Kelly is your girl. So I mentioned Marquette Method instructor. I should also say that Kelly's not just Marquette Method. She's also Creighton Model. So she does both. So we're going to talk about both in that episode. So be sure to tune in. And in the meantime, this is just another quick reminder that Flourish Beyond 40 starts on Friday, February 23rd. So don't miss it. All right. Until next time. Bye.